All right, if you got your Bibles, turn with me into Mark 4, and we'll look at verse 1, Mark 4, 1. This makes part 4 on the parable of the sower, part 4. And we're on the third category of ground, and guess what it is? Thorns and thistles. We're going to go somewhere today on the thorns and thistles. While you're turning to Mark 4 and 1, my key verse that I really love for this series of study is Proverbs 4 and 20. And the Holy Ghost through Solomon the wise man said to my son, attend to my words, pay real close attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. I like this. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to start reading here and get up to where we're going to go. And he, Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. A lot of souls, wasn't it? A lot of eternal souls that day. So that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Can you just see him looking at Jesus now? And he taught them. He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, listen close to what I'm going to tell you, and hearken. There went out a sower to sow. And I want you to know the sower is the preacher, the teacher, the seed is the word of God. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell to the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground. That's where we was at last week. Stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some, here we go, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. All right, you may be seated. Ask him about the parable. The 12 disciples and all the people that were around him said, Jesus, what are you telling us in this parable? Is it important? What are you telling us? Jesus looked at every one of them and said, the seed is the word of God. It is my sayings and my teachings. What Jesus was saying that day is he looked at multitude, all of them, eternal souls. He said, I want your whole heart.
Right.
I want all your heart. Amen. Give me the ground of your heart. Dedication. Jesus said, if you don't listen, pay attention and take heed to condition and work on the ground of your heart. The devil will take your very heart and spirit inside, every inch of it, and he'll fill it with every kind of spirit, attitude, and carnal feelings of this world. How many knows he'll do that? You give the devil an inch and he'll take your whole yardstick. That's what they say. Give him just a little bit. What the Lord was saying, my word will never grow and prosper in you. You'll never bear righteous fruit and have my blessings in your life. Now is the time to get a hold of it and plow it in prayer. Soften your soil with your tears and get every stone and hard thing out of your heart. Is anybody still turned there in that Mark's Gospel? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I want somebody to read me verse 7. And some
fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Yielded no fruit. Read verse 18 and 19. He describes it.
And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of the other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
Oh, precious God. I think a lot of times, when we stand before God at the judgment, will we have any fruit to offer the Lord? How did we spend our Christian life here? Did we really give Him praise and glory and honor? Did we let Him use us? Oh God, to be a light, to encourage? Will we have any fruit to offer Him on that day? Or will we stand there empty with nothing good to show? How many could say, Brother Tommy, I want to have something to give God on that day.
Amen.
I really do. Holy Lord. You know, everything you do for God is not in vain. The least little thing you do for God. What was it? Jesus said, you know, wise lose your reward is giving somebody a cup of cold water.
Cold water.
My Lord, think of that. How many times has His hands, have our hands reached out to help somebody? Or our mouth to encourage them and lift them up? Oh, God, I want some fruit. Jesus will look you over for fruit. You may not be a preacher. You know, the devil uses that on a lot of people. You can't preach. You don't preach. You don't teach. You're not a musician. Come on. You're not a singer. You got a mouth to praise God. You got a mouth to witness for the Lord. How many knows that you can have good works of giving and being a help to others who are in need and encouraging them? And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word and the cares. Say cares with me.
Cares.
Oh, Lord, where are we going to go here? Y'all buckle your seatbelt and hold on to the dash. Cares of this world. Cares. And the deceitfulness of riches, wanting the material things. And the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. I personally believe with all of my heart, Brother Ron, that the majority of professing Christians in our world today fit into this third category of thorny ground. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
That's right.
The word was sowing in them. The word was in their heart. But what else? What else came along and crowded it out? How many knows the Spirit and the Word agree?
Yes.
Oh God, I'm glad He gave me His Spirit. I'm glad the Spirit of God inspired our Bible to be written. And I'm telling you, if you've got the Word of God, you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you.
Right.
We need that. But how easy is it in this hour to get distracted? Have other things to come in.
Right. A lot.
It pulls our attention away. It seems like, I don't know what it is. Sister Maria, I remember when I first got saved, 1974. I got saved. It was easy to pray back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Stay with me, children.
Amen.
Brother Ronnie, it was easy to pray in the 70s.
Amen.
You could get down on your knee. You could come to church. People shouted. We had popcorn testimonies everywhere. Lord have mercy. The Spirit of God moved. He just like waves coming in the house.
Amen.
And I remember going when I was at Mommy and Daddy's house, I was still there when I first got saved. And I remember I would go in Mommy's washroom, and she had her washer and her dryer over here. And I'd get down on the concrete on my knees and say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, I praise you. I thank you for saving me. Seems like immediately I was in the Spirit. Oh, the sweet Holy Ghost, and tears would roll down my face. But can I tell you, it seems like in this present hour, how many is with me here today? It seems like in this present hour, you've got to press through. There's a whole lot of things you've got to press through and reach up and pull heaven down. Raise your hand and say, God, whatever I need in this hour, Lord, I've got to press. From the times of John the Baptist, the message was preached, the kingdom of God was preached, and men pressed their way into it. It is a press now. There's a lot of things we have to shake off of us. Get off of us. Get out of my mind, devil. Get out of my mind, world. I love Jesus. I told him here today before I came. I said, Lord, I'd rather have you than anything else in this world. I want your touch. I want your Spirit.
Yes.
There's a lot of things you got to cast off.
Right.
Put it aside. Shake the chains on you. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset you. You know what that's saying in the Greek? Are you with me?
Yes.
The word beset in the Greek, that scripture means lay aside every weight, every sin which doeth so easily encircle you at a hand's touch, at an eye's glance, at an ear's hearing. The little things, the big things that are all around you that wants to steal your time.
Yep. Right.
Take your mind. Take your time. Oh, God, help me today. We're going to go somewhere.
Mom.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Give me the mind of Christ, Jesus. Give me the mind of the Lord. How many of those people used to be in the church? Used to be in church? Many of them. I know a lot of them. Right now they're home. Right now they're working jobs and they're buying four-wheelers or buying boats or buying another car. They go on vacations. They spend. And they're in so far in debt. Listen, they have no time for God. I'd rather have enough to get me through my life. Listen. I don't want to be rich. I don't want. Well, I want us to look close at this first thorn that Jesus mentions. The thorn of cares. Jesus said, the seed that falls among thorns represents those who hear the word, but life's worries, the deceitfulness to get wealth, material things, and the desire for other things, choke it, making it unfruitful. In our world today, this scripture represents people who hear God's message, but their busy lives and constant stress and worldly distractions push God to the side. These things crowd him out. They might listen to sermons and read their Bible, but without buckling down and applying it, God's holy word bears no lasting results.
Amen.
Can anybody tell me what choked means? How many's ever been choked?
Can't breathe.
That's exactly right. You can't breathe when you're choked. Have you ever been choked on something? Just a matter of time. You go unconscious, lifeless, and you die when something's choking you. What's the main thing that you feel? Mary had it. You can't breathe. So, when you're choked, you smother and cannot get your air. Listen close. The garden of your heart must be kept clear of these thorns. Weeds absolutely grow faster than crops. How many's ever witnessed that? Do you know what's in the DNA of weeds? And God gave me this. I didn't find it nowhere. What you find, what's in the DNA of weeds and thorns? It's in them to take over your ground. That's the DNA of it. Leave us alone and we'll take you over. We'll take your garden spot. We'll take your praise. We'll take your prayer life. We'll grow so big, smother you, and choke you out that you won't read God's word. My Lord, my Lord. It's in them to take over your ground. They got a life of their own. Why, Brother Tommy, as Sister Ruthie is saying, why do I struggle so hard? Preacher, going through afflictions in my body is one thing, but all the mental, all the mind battles that I have that affects me, it sometimes drains me spiritually. It's what I battle, what I think about. Children, it's because of sin that came into human race through Adam's transgression. Listen to what the Lord told Adam. Just one bite led to an unending fight. One bite. Listen close to what I'm saying. We all will battle. We all have our problems and troubles. We'll battle something. Every one of us will have our own personal trials and struggles. But do not become the reason and the cause of them. Don't do anything outside of God's will or away from the Lord to bring your problems on your own self. Oh God. Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now I want to pause right here. You know what thorn vines are? Vines, thorns, and sticking out about this long on the thorn, just like a, just briars all over, thorns all over. You know what a thistle is? It's a beautiful plant. It blooms, nice, pretty bloom, thistle. But on the edge of the leaves is little tiny, it looks like little needles on the leaves and on the stem of that coming up. Man, oh man, how many things seem so pretty that gets mankind's attention? They feel like, hey, I'd like to have that. I want that, you know. Look at the balloon. Look at the beauty. That would be so pretty. Reach over there to get it. Needles, thistles, the leaves brush against you. I'm telling you, a lot of people got what they wanted, but they lost the peace they had. They lost the joy. They lost the victory. They lost the Spirit of God. They lost the shout. They got too close to this something in this world. You can brush right against those thistles. You can feel them. They hurt you. There's some things in people's life. Listen, once they get it in their life, it's almost impossible to get them out of it.
Right.
Quit doing that. You need to lay that aside. You need to quit that.
Yep.
You need to give that up.
Right.
There's something wrong with people's minds and mentality that they want something. That's it right there. There's a short, turn around and show it. Ain't that pretty?
Yep, that's so.
But you don't want to.
But it's got them stickers on it.
Thousands of them. Lord have mercy, sakes alive.
It amazes me, Sister Maria, honest to goodness, the things that's in people's life that they did not used to have, but they had victory, they had to shout and everything, but they've allowed things into their life, and it's become thistles. They don't want to really want get rid of it. Some kind of an entertainment and everything, and all day long, listen, they have no peace of mind. It's always a constant rub against the thistles of life, and it hurts them.
Right.
Oh, God. Well, I don't want no thorns, and I don't want no thistles. I know me and Daddy, we used to go to Rabbit Hut, Brother Charles, back years and years ago when I was still at home. Sometime, of course, he was a lot younger then. I was a teenager, and Daddy'd say, it's your turn to go through that brush pile and all those weeds and briars and everything and scare me out of rabbit. And I bought hunting clothes, and I had a good set of pants, Brother Ronnie, you know, nice, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd get in the middle of them briars, and I just knew there's a rabbit in there, and get in them saw briars, and something about a saw briar, they'll go this way, and the other briar will go that way on the vine, and back and forth, almost like a saw blade. I'd get in there, Dad said, keep going. I said, man, I'm stuck in these saw briars. I said, I can't go forward. I said, I can't go backward. He said, there's a rabbit in there. He said, stir it out for me. And I couldn't hardly wait till his turn to get in the briars. Saw briars. What was it Jesus told Paul that just come to me on the road to Damascus? It's Saul, Saul, Martha, Martha. You know, when God really wants your attention, he'll get it.
Yes. Yep.
When God speaks to you, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. You're going to learn something, Simon, through your fall. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You went your way. You thought you were right in serving me. Saul, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. I want to tell you, God's got a way of getting your attention. I said, the Lord's got a way of getting your attention. You get tangled right up. And God said, where are you going to go now, son? I'm after you.
Right.
Everything in your life's hard. You're trying to go your way. Nothing's working out. You're in a constant warfare. Why don't you come out of that? Thank you, Lord. Raise your little hand and say, God, I want to completely be free. Praise be to the Lord. I don't want to get hung up on anything. I feel God in the house. I don't want to get up in the briars and the thorns and the thistles of life to where that I'm miserable. No, I want to have freedom. I want to have joy. I want to come into the house of God without any condemnation. Oh, Lord, walking in the Spirit, hey, Lord, and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. When I come through the glass door, I say, Lord, there ain't no thorns in my life. I gave them up.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Whoa, Lord.
Whoa.
All splash.
Yes.
Holy God.
I told you. In the DNA, we're going to take you ground. That's what the devils are telling a lot of people, a lot of God's good people. I'm telling you, you don't have to be worldly. You don't have to be charismatic. You don't even have to be halfway in. The devil says, I want you drowned. It's not just these people that are lukewarm and not even them that's backslid. I want to tell you something. There's crosshairs on every one of our backs today. The devil wants you drowned. He wants the ground of your heart. And you're going to battle. You're going to battle for the ground every day. You got. Listen what God went on to tell Adam. In the sweat. How many's ever heard the sweat of your brow? Every preacher pretty much preaches that. It's the sweat of your brow. No. Your brow's right here. I tell you what, I know what it's like to get hot out there.
Oh,
Jeff out there, weed eating, hoeing in the garden and everything, the sweat of my face, it all over my face, not just the brow, my whole face, neck and everything, sweats. In the sweat of thy face, listen, shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. This is an unending battle, children. It's an everyday battle. Until, Kathleen, until we leave this world, we'll battle.
Right.
We'll battle. Listen, Adam, because you disobeyed me and went against my word, you're going to battle the thorns and the weeds that will seek to take over your ground.
Right.
Son, you'll battle them the rest of your life to the point that you will sweat. That's a battle. Children, God was letting Adam know that he will sweat to make a living. It is a picture of a struggle and a constant effort to break the sweat. It goes more than the physical.
Right.
It goes more than the physical. How many's ever had to labor in prayer?
Yeah,
beg God. How many's ever prayed to the point that you was in so much under a burden and so much in a need that you strained in your prayers? You cried to God. You groaned to Him. This is work. You know why a lot of people don't pray like this? It's work. It's work to really pray till you pray through. How many could say, Brother Tommy, I've been there and know that God has heard me and He answered prayer. I prayed it through. Though the battle was long, I feel the Lord in the house. Just wave your hand unto the Lord here today. I battled it a long time, God. Yes, I did. The devil told me, and I was a wondering, oh Lord, how can I make it through? What am I going to do? God, I need your help. And I held on to the horns of the altar until God came through and He answered my prayer. It is work. Wait to the Lord, it is work. I want Him. I want His touch. God.
Yes.
There's a price in praying through. There is.
Mm-hmm.
There is. It's not easy.
No, it's not. You got to press.
Children, God was letting Adam know that he will sweat to make a living. It's a picture of a struggle, an effort. Mm-hmm. You cannot let up. You can't let up. You had to watch, keep watch and guard over your ground. What Adam battled and how he struggled to have a natural garden of crops and fruits and to keep the thorns and the prickly weeds out, we will have to battle in our life in both the natural realm and especially in the spiritual realm.
Yes.
And can I say, even in our minds.
Oh, yeah.
How many times Satan wants to sow seeds here and plant things here that boggle us down. How many here today battles with your mind sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in this house. Brother Tom Perry told many years ago, he'll probably watch this, either in a testimony or a message that he preached, he told about going and buying a bag of soil and potting mix to grow, it was either a flower or some vegetable plant. Tom said, I open up the bag, I filled up the big pot full of that clear dirt, the pretty dirt, and I sowed my seed. He said several days later, he said, I went out to check on the plant, if the plant had came up or not, and he said, guess what? He said, I looked down, and he said, I couldn't believe. Couldn't believe it. Up came a weed that was higher and taken over my plant,
yeah,
and taken over the whole pot.
Yeah.
He said just a few days.
Yeah.
Children, honest. It is dangerous for us in this hour. I feel him, Brother Ron. I feel him. It's dangerous in this hour we're living in to go very long without getting a hold of God.
Right.
Mm. without getting a hold of him.
Amen.
I need him to protect me. Man, I need him to help me. I want him to keep me.
Right.
I've got my part to do to guard the garden of my heart and the soil, the ground. But without God, I can't do it. Listen to me. Our prayers, when we pray, God will help us take care of our hearts. Shoot. How many feels that today? Thank you, Lord. Only.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God. He told the church in his message, he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, where did that weed come from? Devil's got a lot of tares, don't he? A lot of weeds. He said, though I couldn't see it, it was in the dirt.
Right.
The whole time its head was hid in that dirt, in that pot.
Yeah.
It's called the DNA of the curse of sin. It will grow when nothing else will.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't have to water a weed.
Right. You just don't have to do it.
You don't have to water it. They'll grow in the blistering sun. They grow in the drought. They'll grow in the gravel. And I have to constantly spray that Roundup stuff in my gravels. They'll grow in rocks and cracks, even cracks in the concrete. And even up on your house in your gutter.
Yeah.
It just seems like that they want to take over, don't it? We don't realize what's in the pot, do we? A lot of times. Until it gets up to the point that we feel like it's going to take over if I don't get it out of here.
Don't realize what's in our heart. That's scary.
It'll take over.
Yep.
I've got to do something fast. Oh, God. Mom, one time, she had it was called a wild rose. And I didn't know them roots went that deep. And it was up right in the corner of the property and stuff. Dad had a little stone wall he had built there coming into the driveway. She wanted that thing out of there. You talk about digging, mattock and shovels, and I'd got down to right, you know, you could get down right to where you think, I'll just lay this stuff down and I'll get it both hands right there and I'll just pull it up out of there. I put every bit of the strength I had in there. You know, I've shrunk since then. I was almost 6 foot tall then, strong as an ox. I reached in there and I braced myself and that thing would not come out of that ground.
Dig some more.
That's it. Got to dig some more. Mom, are you sure you want this out? It's her idea. You know, let it go as far as I was concerned. That's just it. We let things go. What you see above the ground, it might even get high. It might tower even above you. But you say, I can get that out of there. I can get that out of there. Look at them little limbs. Ain't that big. And you go to dig and dig and dig, and I still couldn't get it out of there. And I said, oh, Lord, take a mattock and a shovel and go deeper. And I don't know how deep I went before I pulled the last root out. Are you happy, Mom?
Yeah.
I got it out of there.
Did it come back?
I don't think it ever come back. Mommy planted some, was it marigolds all the way up through there, had some other flowers up along that wall. How many could say, Brother Tommy, I want the good things. I want the good blooms. I want the good soil.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, man, this is teaching ground. How many knows this is teaching ground?
Yes. Amen.
Well, there's a lot of things that can grow in our life that'll steal our joy and our peace of mind if you let it.
Amen.
You got to root them out. When you see it, when you first realize this thing's taken over, it's getting bigger. Read it out. Weeds and thorns have their own nature. I want you to know that the ground of your heart becomes competitive soil. The Lord wants it. Say it with me. The Lord wants my heart. He wants it to grow His fruits of righteousness in it. but there's competition.
Yeah.
Competition. The thorns and the weeds want every inch of your ground. There are three things that weeds compete for. And I'll try to get this in. Three things that weeds and briars and everything compete for. First, they want the space of your ground to grow in. To grow in, that'll crowd everything else out of it. Number two, they'll grow right beside of the good fruit plant to soak up all the rain and to keep the life-giving water away, to steal the water and the rain from the root of your crop. Third, they seek to spread themselves outward and grow upward high to hover over your plant, to absorb and take away even the sunshine. That's what the devil and this world will do to you if you let him. And as a result, you'll be robbed of strength. You will not be able to grow. You will not be able to prosper. You'll wither and you'll dry up and you'll spiritually die, Sister Ruthie. That's what Jesus is saying. We die. This thing's hovering. It's wanting more room. It's wanting to choke me to where I can't breathe, spiritually speaking. Yep. How many of you ever feel like there's times in your life you feel like, God, I need a good fresh breath of air. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to quit right here and make a part five. There's a lot more in this, and I believe it'll help you all. I really believe this will help you what I've got. The things I've got.